Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, May 15th, 2025, and today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Working with Others on page 97, the third paragraph. Though an alcoholic does not respond, through one paragraph ending, the family will find life more bearable. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Kelsey C., 12 Traditions, Christine G., and our readers of the text this morning are Rick J. and Lynn S., and Alana C. is our backup. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, May 14th, are the following. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22430. That's 22430. And then the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22435. That's 22435. Gotcha. Thanks. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Kelsey C. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. I'm Kelsey C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, and thank you for letting me serve. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that on, to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you, Kelsey C., and I will now ask Christine G. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Christine G., recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at a level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to serve. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Christine G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we are going to resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. In the chapter Working with Others on page 97, the third paragraph, beginning with, though an alcoholic does not respond, through the one paragraph ending, the family will find life more bearable. And I will now ask Rick J. to begin reading. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thanks so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. Though an alcoholic does not respond, there is no reason why you should neglect his family. You should continue to be friendly to them. The family should be offered your way of life. Should they accept and practice spiritual principles, there is a much better chance that the head of the family will recover. And even though he continues to drink, the family will find life more bearable. Well, obviously, the specific scenarios depicted in this paragraph and those preceding it really no longer apply to us. But the message for me is still very clear. And it's step 12, what this chapter is all about. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So everybody I try to carry the message to, if they want it, they'll do the work and they'll recover. If they don't, they won't. But that doesn't mean that my mission, so to speak, to carry this message to others stops if someone doesn't want this. I go to someone else. And I can also look to see how I can share my experience, strength, and hope with anyone around me, my family, my friends, my coworkers. There are so many people that I connect with today, and that's a true gift. You know, that's part of my spiritual awakening. That transformation is that now I am connected with the people in my life. And by working steps 10 and 11 constantly, I keep releasing anything that's going to block me from my higher power, and I connect with the power and the people in my life, the power that transforms me and the people that connect me with love. And I can look anywhere in my life to be able to do that. And I never know what my own experience, strength, and hope will affect someone else. I don't know how that will, but I just keep shining that light because that's what I do. That's what I love to do today. I am no longer isolated. I'm no longer in bondage to self. I'm no longer in the physical hell of compulsive eating. I'm free today. And if anybody can relate with me or identify with me in any walk of life, then I'm able to carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities today with anyone. But I keep working step 10 and 11 constantly, and I keep carrying the message. I keep working step 12. I try to carry the message and to practice these principles in all my affairs with everyone, with anyone I can. I'll never do this perfectly, but that message of shining my light, regardless of the person I'm trying to help, not wanting it or wanting it, I keep doing that because it releases the things that block me and it connects me with the power that transforms me and the people in my life. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rick J. in North Carolina, for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Christina J.
Shannon K.
Janet B.
Amy M.C.
Dina S.
I'll tell you who I have so far. Great. Okay, so I've got Christina J., Shanna C., Janet B., Karen K., Amy N. C., and Tina S. Anybody I missed?
Tenzin P. Yeah, I had spoken up.
Gotcha, Tenzin. Thank you. All right, so that's a good lineup to get us started. Let's start with Christina J., followed by Shanna C., and then Janet B. And please remember to tell us where you are calling from. Good morning, Christina J.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Excellent lead, Mr. Rick. This paragraph speaks to me of no judgment and acceptance, and it speaks to me of a person who is a sponsor or a guide who has recovered, because an alcoholic does not respond. Does that mean I get my ego hurt? I should continue to be I'm going to turn this into being about the sponsee. You continue to be friendly to them, right? And if their family's around, of course, you know, you're friendly to the family. You're friendly to whoever's in your path. I don't know how I could ever present this to a family and have them accept spiritual principles, just like I could present this program to an alcoholic and have them, you know, accept it. That's in God's hands. So all I need to do, as was previously shared in a different way, is be a light. Be a light and go about my business as God would have me do and be every day, not taking things personally. And in my own family, I'm carrying the light. And if I'm not around people in my own family that are not recovered, but at my job I am. So do I take them personally? Do I get my shorts in a twist? I have. But I have the 10th step for that and the 11th step, and I get to have that mirror reflected back on me. So this is just a beautiful paragraph of acceptance and love and no judgment, because God's in charge. I can't make anyone do this or get it. We are on a trajectory journey with God. He's taken us where we need to go with this disease, with our lives, with our pains, with our wounds. And if we are here, I believe God has called us here, even though, you know, I went through many periods of sitting here rejecting various things about the program, judging people on the line, all that stuff. That just reflects back on the healing I need to do. Or I felt judged when I relapsed and all. That just reflects back on me not knowing that I'm in this with God. You know, I'm in this with God. I don't need to feel judged or feel like I'm being judged. I am on a journey, and I have understanding voices that know that. They're not laying any heavy trip on you. You're not responding to the way I want you to do it. Well, you know, that's between me and God. Yes, I have to take action. I have to have devotion. I have to walk the path. So even though your sponsee may go out and continue to eat, you know, we just carry the message. We just love them, show the shining light of recovery. And, you know, I'm not embarrassed that I've relapsed. In fact, there's been times when I've heard people say, don't let anyone know you relapsed because that would prove the program's not working. BS. I'm on a journey. And sometimes people have to go back to the hell and eat the dirt at the bottom, you know, until they realize they don't want it anymore. So my job is no judgment, acceptance, and love of everyone that's suffering. And those poor families, they suffer. The stories in the back of the book, you know, those wives and families held space for those guys. I don't know
that's
how
to kind.
But I did, and people held space for me. And what's that but God's love? Thank you for letting me share.
And Christina, thank you. And where are you calling from?
North Carolina. So sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Christina J. in North Carolina. And then Shanna C. is next, followed by Janet B. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. I'm from Tennessee, gratefully recovered, but I'm currently in Orlando, Florida. And I'm so grateful that regardless of what anyone says or does, we can recover, provided that we're working with others and that I'm seeking to carry the message of hope to, you know, to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. You don't necessarily even have to be new to be a suffering compulsive overeater. Trust me, I know this one because we're not cured. We've recovered, you know, restored to sanity when it comes to the fact that, you know, there's certain things I can't eat and certain behaviors I can't display and stuff like that. But the cool thing is being recovered, meaning I'm aware and I've got access to power through these steps. And that's what makes me recovered, not cured. And the awareness of the not being cured is actually what is restoring me to sanity because it shows me how much I'm in need of a power greater than me to help me. And in order to gain access to that power is to help others. And I can tell you, I am definitely someone who can get twisted up when it comes to expecting my family to behave the way I need them to. Because when I first got into recovery, I thought that, you know, certain members of my family needed to stop their addictive behaviors in order for me to be okay, because I'll take that part there where it says there's a much better chance that the head of the family will recover. Well, because I'm so self-centered, I'm the one who thinks I'm the head of the family. Well, I'm not the head of the family. I'm a member of this family, for one thing. And so I'll take that to the nth degree. But thankfully, that is proven untrue, because I am the only one in 12-step recovery out of all of my family members and have been for almost 17 years, coming up on 17 years now. And especially with the food coming up on, through God's grace and mercy, through all of it, coming up on 6 years. And I got to tell you, when starting out, as someone in recovery, being made fun of for weighing and measuring, being given the weird looks and the why can't you just eat normally and all of that. Oh, my God, the 10th stepping. Thank God for it. Thank God for people in the program who understand what that feels like. And for the grace of God giving me the power to say, you know what, and then witnessing them looking at me differently afterward and then adopting some of the same behaviors that I'm doing now that's actually helping them. It's just, and then me being able to stay close enough to God and humble enough to watch it happen and not say, hey, I told you so, and it works. You know, anyway, I'm so grateful that we can recover regardless of anyone, especially ourselves, despite my indiscretions, despite my own defects. As long as I'm willing to carry a message of hope to others, man, I can get, I mean, I can get through anything, even if it's painful. So grateful to be here, grateful for strong sponsorship and you guys showing me the way out every day, every day. Love you all so much. Thanks for leading the meeting, and thanks, Rick, for your lead. That's it.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. And the next up is Janet B., followed by Karen K. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So I see a beautiful promise in these sentences. It says that no matter what anyone in my family is doing, if I practice spiritual principles, one of two things are going to happen. One, either the person who is off on a bad track will get better, or if they don't, I will be able to bear it. So either way, I win. If I practice spiritual principles, and what does that mean? It means tolerance, like not having to have my own way, trying to seek God's will in all situations. Either the person who's, you know, off on a bad path will change, or I will be okay with it. And, you know, I was just thinking back when my son Daniel graduated high school, we were not getting along. He wasn't even living with us for 6 months. At his high school graduation, we didn't sit with him. It was that bad. It was that tense. I remember going home from his high school graduation and crying. And then he came home before he started college. He came home for a while, and I just threw myself into practicing spiritual principles. So what does that mean? I think when we're ever not sure what to do, we can just ask God, what does love look like in this situation? So even if Daniel was being a punk to me, if I was going to the store, I would say, Daniel, can I bring you back a coffee? And he would almost like shake, wait, what's going on? And I just tried to practice love. I just tried to meet him where he was. I stopped having an emotional demand that he love me and respect me the way that I demanded. And I just loved him and met him where he was. So he was home a while. He went off to college. And I want to tell y'all that this past Saturday, we were at his college graduation and his commissioning as a second lieutenant into the Army. And I sat right next to him. And it was the most lovely, wonderful thing. And I remember thinking, God healed it. God healed the rift between Daniel and me. All I did was, you know, in my measly, making so many mistakes kind of way, try to practice love and tolerance and look to God for help and look to God to just give me the patience and love that I couldn't muster myself. And God healed the relationship with my son. And I am just so blessed and grateful for this program. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet B. in North Carolina. And the next up, we've got Karen K., followed by Amy M. C. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Lindsay. It's Erin K., E-R-I-N-K, in Michigan. I think it was me you heard. Yeah, so, you know, kind of echoes of what others have said, you know, this paragraph kind of struck me very similarly. So it just made me think about, you know, all of my, like, what has happened in all of my closest relationships, you know, with my parents and my husband since I recovered. And when, you know, it's almost like this sentence is, your family should be offered your way of life. And how do I offer that? By example, you know, by how I'm showing up, by me accepting and practicing my spiritual principles. And I find that when I'm living by spiritual principles, I'm treating my family differently. And it's been amazing to me. They can't help but react differently. And, you know, that's, you know, I've had many moments of reflection thinking about, like, you know, before I worked these steps, you know, it was my frame of mind was, I'm right, they're wrong. You know, I'm perfect. They need to change. And just by, you know, showing up differently, it's not so much that they've changed, but our dynamic changes, our communication changes, our relationship changes. And it's nothing, you know, my husband's still my husband. He's not an addict. He doesn't have a program. My dad is still actually an active alcoholic. you know, he's still an addict and doesn't have a program. But my relationships were so different. And, you know, I heard something once from a spiritual teacher in 12 steps that, you know, I have tried to carry with me into every situation, especially when I get resentful toward, you know, a close person. It's like I try to ask God to show me how to focus less on how they are loving me, whether they love me, and really completely turn it around and ask myself, do they know I love them? How am I demonstrating that I love them? And it's not always easy to do, you know, I don't have the power to do that in and of myself. But when I ask for that power, it does come. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you, Erin K. in Michigan. And then we've got Amy M. C., followed by Tina S. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. This is Amy M. C. from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. And I just love the 12 step. And as I continue to learn and grow, you know, I find that my self-seeking can get in the way, even here, of course. Go figure, right? Because it tells me I'm not doing enough. Oh, you're not sponsoring enough. Oh, you know, this isn't enough. Your shares, you don't share enough. You don't get on the meetings enough. And as I was reminded the other day from another fellow in program, I carry the 12 step in all of my affairs. And so what does that look like? That looks like talking to friends and fellows at work, at home, being positive, being known for being this positive person who can, you know, who can easily light up the room, not because of me, but because of God. And then people ask, well, what happened? Why are you so happy? Why, you know, what changed? I'm noticing this difference. Again, God has another layer of the onion for me. And this layer happens to be, you know, more of the obsessive thinking. Who would have thought? I mean, the food is down, thank you, Lord. And, but the noise between my ears still is in there, rent free. And so what does that look like? That continues to look like carrying a message of depth and weight. That continues to look like me getting on my knees, asking God to direct my thinking. It continues to look like asking God, how can I be of service? Because the noise in between my ears can rule my life. It can rob me of a whole day, you know? And as we know, this disease centers in our mind. You know, food was just a symptom for me. This is the way that, you know, the majority, good majority of my life, it came out, not knowing how to deal with that noise in between my ears. Well, now I get to work the 10th step. Well, now I get to work with others. And guess what, P.S., it's not going to be perfect. And when that diseased thinking comes up, I get to say, thanks for sharing, not today. And then I need to get outside myself. And yes, that is sponsoring. And yes, that is picking up the phone and doing a 10th step. But even more so, it is carrying this message in all my affairs. So some days it looks different than others. Some days it looks the same. But it is always asking God to direct my thinking and to show me His will for me. And when I do that, there's a clearer path. That noise settles. I get to serve others. Because, guys, this program is freely given. We don't charge, you know, it's not a therapy session.
Time.
We have a textbook. Thank you. I'll pass with this. We have a textbook that we get to read here every day and follow the good orderly directions. And with that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Amy MC in Massachusetts. And then next up, we have Tina S. followed by Tenzin P. Hi, Tina.
Hey, Lindsay, thanks so much for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Yeah, wow, what a great share, great shares. You know, I too believe that, you know, this paragraph is no longer really practiced today as far as, you know, us working with the family. But what I do know is that, you know, I was told early on that I may be the only book somebody sees, only big book somebody sees, and, you know, that I can demonstrate, you know, my recovery, you know, my transformation for me that came about through the 12 steps wherever I go with whomever I'm with. And that was shared over and over, and everybody shares today. And I'm so grateful that I have that opportunity, you know, and talks about practicing spiritual principles, you know, like, you know, honesty, hope, you know, faith, courage, integrity, et cetera, because we have principles behind the steps, behind the traditions, and behind the concepts. We have so many, you know, and we have that opportunity to be a different person. That's what I was told when I came in. The same person, that's the truth. The same person will drink again or whatever again is the truth. So I have to change. It's not about somebody around me changing. It's about me changing. And what happens, which is so astonishing, is that, oh, somehow that seems like they've changed. Well, they don't even really have to change. You know, my perception does. And I'm afforded that opportunity in recovery, you know, by being on these meetings every day and listening to you share your experience, strength, and hope so that I can, oh, maybe that'll work for me. And then I try it and say, oh, yeah, that worked for me, you know, and then I pass it on to somebody else and maybe this will work for you. And if I don't have the answer for somebody or something that they can do, you know, I may know somebody who does. And that's what we do here. You know, we share with each other what has been so freely given us, you know, and, you know, I could tell you, and I just love that I feel this. And when I got here, I thought you were all full crap. You were all blowing smoke. You know, what I know today is that's not the truth. You know, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams, which I am eager to continue one day at a time. So if I want to continue that, I got to continue to do what I'm doing. You know, I can't just sit by you and get this thing. I got to take some action. I got to do the deal. You know, I help others. You know, whether I want to or not, doesn't matter. I was told that at the beginning. Doesn't matter if you want to or not. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. Just do it. You know, and when I just do it, you know, I act my way into right thinking. So therefore, today, you know, I want to help others. You know, I don't want to ramble, but this paragraph can be really interpreted in such a special way for all of us to practice spiritual principles so that everybody around us can be aware that they too can also. But that'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Tina S. in Florida. And then Tenzin P., you're up next. And then we will take another lineup of folks to share. Good morning, Tenzin.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Actually, I'm very moved by this paragraph. For me, this paragraph is not in the past. This actually is my story. This first line, why you should not neglect his family. So more than half my life ago, my close friends, who I had no idea they were in AA, I had never even heard of AA, but one day they saw me with a black eye. And they knew my, you know, they knew my relationship with my boyfriend at the time. And they told me about this program for families. They said, we don't know, you know, they didn't badmouth my boyfriend, but they told me about this program for families. So for 6 months, I went, it changed, it was the beginning of changing my life. And in that 6 months, a person who became my best friend in that program 12-stepped me into OA. She just saw I didn't look, you know, like I might have a problem with food, but she saw every time we went to parties, she saw things that made it clear that OA could help me. And that was the beginning of more than half of my life now in OA. So I'm forever grateful that my friends told me about the 12-step programs, and I'm very moved. I look forward to seeing you all at our convention in Newark, and I pass.
Thanks, Tenzin P., and where are you calling from this morning?
Yes, I'm in New York, New York City.
Perfect. Thank you. All right, so before we take another lineup of folks to share, I'll just remind everybody where we are. So we are in the chapter Working with Others in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 97, the third paragraph, though an alcoholic does not respond. And we're reading through that one paragraph that ends, the family will find life more bearable. So who else would like to share this morning?
Shannon E.
Olivia K.
Christina L.
Anna and Olivia. Christina L.
Tony B.
Gotcha, Tony. Who else? We've got room for more.
Hi, Maria A.
Gotcha, Maria.
Robin P.
All right. Oh, gotcha, Robin. Okay, perfect. All right, so here's who I have. Shannon E., Olivia K., Christina L., Tony B., Maria A., and Robin P. So let's start there. Shannon E., please get us started.
Hi, thank you so much for your service. This is Shannon E. in New Jersey. And I am a fairly recently recovered compulsive overeater. And I just really wanted to share on the topic of families being helped by the program. Throughout my life, I felt really just hostile almost towards my mom. In her own illness, she wasn't able to meet my needs, and I could never really understand why I would want to push her away when she tried to hug me and things like that. And it wasn't until I learned about sort of the effects of emotional neglect later in life that I could understand why that was. But I always kept that stuff in and just kind of tolerated it, and it made visits with her totally unbearable. But when I found recovery, I was no longer kind of able to live dishonestly, but I was also not able to be mean to her. That, like, God didn't want that for me. And so in a loving way, I was able to talk to her with the help of a therapist. I actually made the appointment with the therapist while I was very angry at her. And then during by God's divine intervention, during the 2 weeks or 3 weeks that I was waiting for that appointment, I actually completed the steps. And while I had set up the appointment with the desire to let her, make her witness all of my resentments and my pain, I actually went into the appointment with a very different intention, sort of guided by the grace of God, which was to really see how I could be of service to my mom and the relationship that we have and the time that we have remaining. And it was, I mean, at the end, she and I both cried. It was the most beautiful hour and a half we ever spent together. And we hugged, the therapist cried. It was it was a miracle. It was a miracle. And I gave her a hug at the end that I could not get enough of. And it was the first time in my body that I felt that love towards my mom. And what was interesting is that nothing had changed about her. Nothing had changed about her physical appearance or her smell or her, the way that she was. But what had changed was my heart. And in the time since then, it's been a totally different, it's been the fourth dimension with her. And she's still as deeply flawed as she ever was. But the way that I feel towards her has fundamentally shifted. And I'm just so grateful to God. And I think that she's starting to see the benefits of recovery as well. But that's in her, for her to decide if she wants to get into it. So with that, I'll pass. And I'm grateful for this program and for everyone who's shared. Thanks.
Thank you, Shannon E. in New Jersey. Next up is Olivia K., followed by Christina L. Good morning, Olivia.
Good morning. This is Olivia K. I'm from Illinois and recovered compulsive eater. Thank you so much for your service. Rick, thanks so much for that great lead share. I have a little twist on this, and I was thinking about family and thinking about fellowship. And I am blessed to be part of an in-person meeting on Saturday mornings that I've been going to since it was my very first OA meeting. And for me, this has been a program or a disease of isolation. And gratefully, this group, OA group, has fellowship after the meeting. And we go out for coffee. I never want to go out for coffee afterwards. That is part of, that's just who I am. But what I've what I've done is I've gone out for coffee and I continue to go out. And what I find there is an incredible connection with people. We talk about our pains. We talk about our, we celebrate. We learn about one another's families. We support one another. I've gone to a wedding. I've gone to wakes or a funeral or, you know, things like that. And the reason why I bring that up is because if I don't get involved in the lives of people in this program, whether it's in person or on the phone, I know that I will leave. And that's my MO, you know, is to Olivia, you're fine just the way you are. You can handle it. You're self-sufficient. And so when I think about families and think about the support that I've received through, you know, death of both parents, through a divorce, through, you know, children that have, you know, been sick, et cetera, I think of the support I've gotten from people. And I know that that is what this is all about, you know, helping each other, living with each other, getting to know one another's lives and families. And so I just share that grateful person in OA, grateful for God's nudge to get me there every week, even though I don't want to go. And sometimes I do, but so I just share that and I'm feeling blessed today. So thanks so much for letting me share and that I'll pass. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Olivia K. in Illinois. Next up is Christina L., followed by Tony B.
Good morning, Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. And I have a confession. I always hate when we get to working with others chapter. I don't know what it is, but the shares going through it this time around have been so incredibly rich that I think it might be softening me a little bit on this chapter. And in looking at this paragraph, like I don't really have any direct experience with this. I've never offered anyone to live in my home, and I never would, to be perfectly honest. Just our house is just not set up for that. And you know, I don't have to worry about that. But, you know, just echoing off of some of the shares, I'm not going to say anything new or anything, but like the only power I have is the power of example, like so many have said, and, you know, how I can show love, not just to my family, but, you know, people in program, people at work, people on the streets, wherever it may be. My husband would accept this spiritual program and, you know, do a 12-step recovery program, particularly probably Al-Anon. And I think I've even mentioned that to him. I'm like, you know, you do qualify for Al-Anon because I'm in OA. And, you know, just kind of being funny, whatever we were talking about. And I know there was one time where it was actually suggested that we both go to Al-Anon because of our son. And though I would still love that to happen, you know, the reality is we would probably be arguing about the best way to work the program. So it's like, you know, pick your battles. Yeah, so anyways, I don't know that I really have anything more to say on this. I did have a friend actually that did ask me when I first came into program, like what it was all about. And she did come with me to a meeting and she never did come back and stuff. And I really don't think that she belongs here. I mean, at least from what I could tell and everything like that. But what I'm really learning is just how to be more accepting and practice these principles in all of my affairs, how to be more loving. And it feels like, you know, there's a lot of work to do. And probably not feels like, there is a lot of work to do. you know, after living so many years with this disease, it's not going to go away overnight, though I would like it to. And I'm going to pass with that because somebody's horn is blowing, and I will pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina L. in Florida. And next up is Tony B., followed by Maria A. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Scotland. Oh, it's been an amazing meeting. Very, very moving. Lots of insight on this paragraph that I've received. Thank you all. And my thinking, you know, there is no reason why you should neglect anybody, really. I mean, these are good spiritual principles here in this paragraph. You know, let's not neglect people. Let's not abandon anyone. You know, I'm trying to think of that. There's a Lao Tzu saying, like a Taoist thing, like always help everybody. Reject no one. That's it. Reject no one. It's a beautiful phrase. And then you should continue. Let's continue with the steps. Let's continue in 10, 11, and 12. But then goes on. Obviously, that's not just what it means. But that's profound in itself. Continue to be friendly. And it was said, you know, in the first chair, everybody around us. Let's take that on. Let's take that to heart and be friendly to folks. And the family should be offered your way of life. I mean, I'm offering anybody that wants it this way of, and then just the fact that this is now my way of life. That's amazing. This is my way of life. These principles, this program. This devotion to this is my way of life. That's amazing. And it can be up for others too. And that's what I offer in sponsorship. And that's the main way. You know, I'm not offering it to the family members as sponsees or, you know, but at this time, and this is just beautiful, the birth of Al-Anon and how important that fellowship has been for people. And here it is, you know, and it's just the way it came out of this, those initial days, you know, like in the big house they met at, you know, where the families would meet together, the wives or, you know, families of the alcoholics would be there as well, everyone included, you know, everybody offered this way of life. Wonderful. So I think I could go on a bit more, but I think that's probably my time up, so I'll leave it there. Thank you all for your service, team, Thursday, and love you all very much. Have a beautiful day. God bless.
Thank you so much, Tony B. in Scotland. And then next up, we've got Maria A., followed by Robin P. Good morning, Maria.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your service. This is Maria A. in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. I truly love the fact that this book was written and has helped so many people, and most definitely has helped me. This idea that after all of the steps in the book and all the work that we do, which is in many ways focused, or that I do is many ways focused on myself, for me to recover, that, you know, my prize at the end of it is to carry that message, and that is not only a prize, but it's actually the way I get to stay better and to get better in life and overcome this really terrible, pernicious disease. This chapter is important, but this paragraph, really what I glommed onto was accept and practice spiritual principles. But the statement before that is what is a good reminder for me, that I'm offering them my way of life. The family should be offered your way of life. And it completely ties into the fact that my way of life really is practicing spiritual principles. And it's just so baffling to me that practicing spiritual principles has an impact on, you know, for me, whether I'm in fit spiritual condition and therefore able to go through life without, you know, destroying myself with food and destroying others with food. Because when I eat terribly and compulsively in a diseased state, you know, it impacts everyone, my husband, my children, my parents. And I remember when I was first in OA, you know, 28 years ago, my mother was an active alcoholic. And I remember having done my fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, all my steps. And I remember sitting down with her, and she was living in another city, and starting to talk to her. And she looked at me and she said, "Maria, I've been going to AA for 2 months. And I had no idea. And it was just, in that moment, there was a crystallization that my family will be saved. Like at the time I was in my 20s and I had, you know, so my family was my parents and my siblings. My family will be saved because of these steps. And I've never forgotten that. Many years of OA, many different channels to recovery, and it's been a journey. But I am so grateful for this paragraph and really prepared in any way I can to be of service in the world within this program. And I have many families. I have my work family, which is profound, and then I have my family, not in that order. And I love the fact that if I can bring my practice spiritual principles, my way of life, there's a better chance that whatever the people that I'm interacting with, whatever they're facing, that they can find peace, which is what recovery has been for me and can be for others. Thanks very much for your service this morning. I really appreciate it, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Maria A. in Ontario, Canada. And Robin P., you will be our last share this morning.
Thanks so much for your service and everyone who's making this meeting possible. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Houston, Texas. And, you know, I was thinking about how I'm the only one in my family who's recovered. I'm the only one in recovery. And my whole family qualifies for it, in my opinion. You know, one program or another. And we came from so much abuse and so much addiction. And I just get to keep being the walking big book, as someone said. And, you know, I've also had to set some boundaries as time has gone on. I had to take a time out again with my mother. And it's felt really painful. I've had to do a lot of 10 steps still because it just feels so emotionally really challenging. And finding the boundaries with the family members. I also love when people say, "Hello, family." And I've always thought, well, I would love to say that. So maybe I will say that. Hello, family. And because this is my family. And you guys are my family. And I also love that I get to be of service no matter what I do today. You know, God, please bless me being a blessing to you and my fellows. And, you know, even with our dogs, you know, who we saved their lives and brought them here. There was a lot of, you know, I had a sponsor in another program who said, "God bless me with the spiritual energy to accomplish what you would have me do today." And I believe that's what I'm meant to have, is the spiritual energy to be of service to God and my fellows in the way he wants me to be today. And, you know, I got to show up and be of service to my husband to the best of my ability with his 2 cataract surgeries that went very well, thank God. And, you know, I'm going through a lot about the dogs and life and moving to London, and it feels like a really pivotal time. And the guy who is interested in adopting the dogs came from Florida to meet them, and he looks to be an alcoholic. And, you know, I was on the vision meeting on Sunday morning, and I said to him, "You're going to hear some voices," because he was staying in our house, you know, and I told him, 12-stepped him, but I don't believe, I'll just keep praying for him. We're in different places in our, but it's okay. I still got to be of service to him. And I don't believe he's the right one for the dogs. And so I just get to keep surrendering and taking action, just like with everything. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day. Thank you all for being here. I love you all and send you a big hug. God bless you. And the dogs are saying thank you.
Perfect timing on all accounts. And thank you so much, Robin P. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, May 15th, is 22,437. That's 22437. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lynn S. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Lindsay. Excuse me. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation, which you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your path. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you